This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. We are a nation of immigrants. That hasn't changed over America's 200-plus years. Today, President Obama asked Congress for more than $4 billion in emergency funds to help cope with the waves of young Central Americans moving across our southern borders. The politics of immigration sometimes obscure a fundamental question. What makes us American? Seattle-based writer and teacher Eric Liu has given that question a lot of thought. In his new book, Liu examines his own background and how his Chinese heritage has influenced his sense of himself as American. Eric Liu grew up in Poughkeepsie, New York. He says in his high school class of 500 kids, there were maybe five Chinese students. Liu was conscious of his race growing up, but he wanted to weave the strands of his identity into an integrated whole.
I was quite aware of and proud of one part of my family's history. My father's father had been in the military, in the Chinese nationalist armed forces, fighting the Japanese during the war and then fighting the communists. And so I heard many legends and stories of him. And that was a source of pride and a source of connection. But my way of embracing that was to really, in a sense, transmute that into my desire to serve my country, right, and to dream. You know, he worked, as it happens, during the early parts of World War II, with the Flying Tigers, the American pilots who helped the nationalist Chinese then. And so I used to just write stories and dream of myself when I was a kid being a Flying Tiger pilot or being a U.S. Marine pilot and kind of having part of this Chinese identity and part this claiming of an American one.
Well, in fact, you joined the Marines. This is something I did not know about you, and which really kind of I think of you as a writer, an educator, a very learned intellectual, and not a Marine. I'm sorry, maybe all Marines are intellectual. I apologize for Marines who are listening. So was this an attempt to weave a strand, or was there something else that you were trying to prove to yourself by joining the Marines?
Well, and to be very clear, what I did was I went through Marine Corps Officer Candidate School when I was in college, two different summers. And when you finish OCS, if you finish OCS, you are eligible when you finish college to take a commission and become an officer. I did finish, but I chose not to take the commission. I went into government instead. And I want to just be clear, because people who have been in the Marine Corps
are going to say he wasn't really a Marine.
Exactly. But nonetheless, those weeks, the 12 weeks in total, were incredibly formative. And, you know, to your question, Marcy, it was really partly about just my desire to serve. The grandfather who I was mentioning, his name in Chinese is Liu Guoyun. Liu is the family name.
Right.
Guoyun literally means deliverance of the nation or destiny of the nation, right? So no pressure, right? But he tried to live up to that name, and I would say his sons, my father and uncles did. But I felt very much the sense of Liu's participate, Liu's serve, Liu's contribute. And so I think I'm wired in some ways to do that. And the Marine Corps in particular was just the sense, in part, to live up to that military part of my family history, but also just having this strong, again, second-generation American desire to be part of something greater than oneself.
It's interesting because you write your father had a lot of brothers, and there was this affinity for Taiwan, this sense of given that they were not born in the United States, that their country was a country that they didn't live in. What was your sense of your country? Was it America?
It was very strongly America. And, you know, this is something that I write about. I think in this moment, if you zoom out beyond just my family story, as I try to in this book, we're at an exceptional moment right now, in a moment where many Americans are either fearful or anxious or even resigned to this idea that we are in relative decline. China is in absolute ascent, and this is going to be kind of net bad for America. And I just have this view, Marcy, that, you know what, I don't care how strong or mighty or rich China gets, America is always going to have a competitive advantage, which my family and many millions of other families bear out. And I boil it down this way. America makes Chinese Americans. China does not make American Chinese. They're not interested in it. It's not their operating system. It's not what they're about. And so our open, inclusive culture and civilizational operating system, if we don't blow it, remains our competitive advantage.
Well, you and I are speaking about a week after President Obama announced that he was just going to go ahead and take executive action on immigration reform because John Boehner said point blank he wasn't going to bring it up in the House of Representatives, which got me to thinking beyond you and your Chinese and American identities, but to the many immigrant waves that come to this country, have come to this country, mostly built what America is now on their sort of fused identities. So is there a difference between being Chinese and American or from being Mexican and American or African American, French and American?
Well, I would say, you know, on one level, again, the beauty and the potential power of the United States is our inclusive spirit and our ability to synthesize, hybridize, welcome, remix all of these ideas, bloodlines, memes, and genes from all over the planet. That said, part of my argument in this book, In a Chinaman's Chance, is that there is, because we live in this moment of China and America, or China versus America, mm-hmm. increasingly, there is something that is, bellwether-like, or even canary in the coal mine-like, about what I call the Chinese-American way. That one way to really instantiate how we do have an advantage here in the United States is to look at the fusion of values and approaches to problem solving and problem framing that Chinese Americans, by bringing together a dose of Chinese communitarianism to leaven and temper American individualism and libertarianism, a dose of Chinese kind of context and sense of relational web, to temper and to counteract Americans' kind of atomizing tendencies. If we can really value and cherish that fusion and to see it as something to celebrate and encourage in the workplace, in our schools, in our communities and neighborhoods, and not something to say, oh, you need to get over that stuff and, quote, become American. You need to lose that Chinese, you know, those Chinese values and mores and quote, assimilate. If we do that, we're wasting this potential.
It's interesting. I think I can talk about this because you write about her, but I'm looking at your daughter through the window, who is half Chinese and half Caucasian. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we increasingly see people intermarry, have children of mixed ethnicities, mixed cultural heritages. And so what does that bode for what it means to be an American? What does that mean?
I think you've touched on ultimately the question of the book. Who is us? Right. What does it mean in this generation and generations going forward to define American? And I think as much as, you know, in the second generation, a child of immigrants as I am, I have a very heightened consciousness. That's why I write books like this,
right.
You know, about this combination of heritage on the one side, which is received, and identity on the other side, which you get to at least partially make up for yourself. By the time you get to the third generation, my daughter, or fourth or fifth, not only is that original heritage perhaps more diluted, but there is order of magnitude more possibility and openness of mixing, of borrowing and matching and creating new combinations. And so, look, I think, again, this goes back to what the American potential and the American promise is, that, you know, to the extent that we embrace not only multiculturalism, but mixed race families and mixed race ways of thinking about culture, politics, business, language, we are thriving. We are showing the rest of the world what it can be.
Just lastly, just back to that idea of immigration, because as you are a child of immigrants, I'm a grandchild of immigrants. On the 4th of July, hundreds of people, probably thousands of people around this country took the oath to become American citizens. It's a huge, incredibly emotional event for these immigrants who've come to this country. At the same time, there's this sort of massing on our southern border of people sort of frothing at the mouth, hysterical about the notion of people coming across. How do you perceive that our attitudes about immigration have to change and what that will bode for what it means to for all those citizens who took that oath?
You know, I think we have to remember, even though there is a loud, angry minority in places like Murrieta, California, who do not want to welcome newcomers, who in the least humane way want to respond to these humans on the other side of this line, that not only the cliche that this country was built by immigrants, but quite frankly, many of the descendants of many of the people in Murrieta were, you know, would have 100 years ago been called illegal immigrants. They didn't have permission. They just came, right? And we forget so quickly in America, not only the origins of our own families and our national family, but we forget also on a deeper ethical level that we win when we are inclusive. Now, does that mean you just throw open the doors and let anybody? And of course not. There are rules, there are borders, and it's complex how you have to enforce the rules when you have unaccompanied kids coming to the border like this. That's not just a slam dunk that you can solve in a talk radio snippet or, you know, or in a Fox News appearance. These are hard questions, but the larger thing is not hard at all. America thrives. America will outpace China to the extent that it embraces people from all over the planet. And that has to be our default setting. We can figure out the details, but our first fundamental setting has to be toward openness, inclusion, and making something of the diversity that we have.
Eric, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Marcy.
Eric Liu's new book is called A Chinaman's Chance. He's going to speak tonight at 7:30 at Town Hall Seattle. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.